Hello? Hello? Is this thing on? Oh, we are recording. Oh, you caught me. This is Becky. And I think he's on the other line. Ring, ring. Hello, are you there?
Hello, hello.
Cedric Skysetti?
Yo, what's up?
Oh, he's here. Okay, he's ready to also join us in for the podcast because you're listening to The Happy Project. Listen.
What am I hearing? Listening to what?
You know. You're listening to...
Yeah. 온열 이야기입니다. 온열 이야기.
Oh, it is.
The Happy Project.
The Happy Project Podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, Cooks. How's it going?
What's going on, girl?
What are you trying to do? extra flirty today?
Ew, you know. Yeah. Doing my thing.
Doing your thing.
No, I'm good.
I like
I'm
that.
Good. How are you?
I am also doing my thing. Not my thang, just my thing. So mm-hmm. it's not as cool, but
right.
I am doing
it. You're still doing it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's important. You know, you just got to keep the uphill climb and just keep going.
It's all good, girl.
You know what I mean? I think we should just continue throwing out vague platitudes for the whole rest of the podcast. but anyway, Cook, so I have my little question that I wanted to throw at you.
Okay, hit me.
So it requires a little bit of background information because there might be a small population of the world out there who do not know what I'm talking about. But there is this show on Netflix that you may or may not have seen me watching for the past 2 weeks.
Oh gosh. I know where this is going.
And it's, you know what? It's really like, it's the peak of very classy, very intelligent, wonderful filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And I am talking about something called 솔로 지옥 or Singles Inferno.
It's like the best romance movie out there.
It's so great. So anyone who doesn't know what 솔로 지옥 is, it's basically they get these like really attractive contestants and they go onto this island called 지옥도, which is like Inferno Island. And then, you know, you're separated from the rest of the world. And during that time, I mean, it's pretty much a dating show, like a reality dating show. And then you have like the Korean commentary panel and they're like commenting on the whole thing. And anyway, peak entertainment. So I know I'm a little behind the times and I started with season 2 before I went to season 1. But tell me honestly, haven't you been enjoying it? I know you're watching from the corner of your eye. I know you're watching.
Enjoying it?
Yeah, you're like pretending to work.
Define enjoy.
Oh, I'm just going to work while you're watching this. I know you're watching and I know you're like, oh, Yoongjae and Seolin, you guys can do it. And I know that's what you're thinking.
I don't know if I enjoy the show more or enjoy your reactions and commentary throughout every single second of the show.
Yeah. No, I get pretty passionate about it. What did you say? Every single second?
Oh, no.
Oh, anyway.
Throughout the show.
Look, it's such a great show to just… Like, I never really got into, you know, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like, any of those kind of things.
Right.
But for some reason, 솔로 지옥 is really like… It's captured me. Yeah.
But why? Like, what's so different about this one versus…
Because it's not all about like the skinship and the physical tension. Mm-hmm. It's like you're, you know, it's about this like… It's like the unspoken layers of the people and oh, there's tension there. What did he mean by this? Oh, she's interested in him. But there's a triangle of love. You know what I mean?
That's exactly like The Bachelor.
No, it's not. Other shows. No, it's not. This is a little bit less… intense, mm-hmm. I guess. So it's more enjoyable in my opinion. Okay, this is my real question though.
Okay.
Would you ever, if you were single, if you hadn't met me, if I didn't exist in your life in any way, and if you were in Korea, mm-hmm. and if someone was like, hey, Cedric Nim, do you want to be on a dating show on an island? Would you say yes?
Without a doubt.
Okay, I know you're lying.
Without a doubt. No, I would. Like if I just moved to Korea, I don't know anyone. And I'm looking for love.
Look on the island.
Especially if they approach me.
Oh.
Because I'm going to stand out, first of all.
Oh yeah, you
so
are.
So I'm going to be the exotic
yeah.
character on the show. And this is my time to get famous.
Oh, okay. So you're going to go to Tioko.
Find love and get famous.
Yeah. You're going to meet amongst the 5 women on the island. And, mm-hmm. and that's where you're going to find
yeah,
love.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a lot of those like physical competitions I've noticed in the show mm. between the guys, which is a little silly to me. But like,
what are you
man,
talking
I would
about?
Dominate.
They all work out. Do you not see their six packs? They all have six packs. and they have big muscles. You didn't see that?
No comment.
Okay. Well, yeah. I know you're being jealous over there. But you know what? If you were on Seollu Jiyeok, you'd be my favorite contestant.
Really? Why?
I think. Because you're so good looking. And because you do have big muscles.
This is true. I don't know what kind of podcast this is turning into.
Okay, guys. Sorry to embarrass everyone here in this room.
That is the answer to your question. Well, to be honest, I don't know. You know, because like to me, like reality TV, like those type of like shows are a little too much for me. I mean, they are entertaining without a doubt, but I don't know if I would want to risk my reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Because like it could like turn out really good or it could turn out bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Love is Blind is another example. Like there's some people that like the fans love and there's some people that they just hate.
Exactly.
And I don't want to fall in that camp. That's so right. I don't know if I would want to risk it.
Fans are very fickle. It can be that way. Okay, so there is a point to me bringing up Seollu Jiyeok and all of this.
Uh-huh.
Because when you go on that show and you go on that island, you know the most important thing for you to do is you got to stand out.
Ooh.
Yeah, you got to stand out from the rest of the group. If you want to get that date to go to Paradise with the guy and you want to go to the Paradise Hotel, you got to stand out.
That is
true. So sometimes standing out is a good thing and sometimes standing out can be a burdensome thing. And today what we're going to talk about is the concept of standing out in Korea. I bet you didn't think I was going to come around like that, right?
That was pretty good, actually.
That was my little segue.
Yeah, I thought it was
segue.
Like so random, but yeah, no, it was good.
It's connected. It's
a nice little transition.
Ish. So yeah, we're talking about standing out in Korea. And the reason this came to me, I had found this idiom in Korean that goes, 못난 돌이 청 맞는다. So a more popular phrase, or I guess a more commonly heard phrase is the Japanese one that says, the nail that sticks out gets hammered in. Right? And that's kind of the idiom people use to express, oh, in Japan, you want to have this similarity. Like, don't stand out. You're going to get hammered in by the culture and the society, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Korea carries, in some ways, a very similar mindset when it comes to this. So, 못난 돌이 정 맞는다 means an angular stone that sticks out. It's like 못난 돌, the stone that sticks out at the corner, will get hit by the chisel, as in it will get rounded out. So the person who stands out is the one who will incur hatred from those around them, who will be attacked, who will be beat down. So that's kind of what the idiom is referring to. Mm. So whether that's a positive thing, like cautionary, hey, don't stand out because you don't want to get, you know, attacked by people. Or maybe it's just explaining like, oh, this is just how it is in Korea. If you're going to stand out, you're going to get beat down. I'm not entirely sure. But either way, I know for you and I, having lived in Korea and having stood out, whether or not we try to, we know what that feels like. What does it feel like to stand out in Korea?
Right. Yeah. And that's a daily like thing that I don't know about you, but I was pretty aware of standing out pretty much every day. Maybe not when I first… Well, when I first got there, there was that element of novelty that I feel like… Or more so like me just noticing people looking at me. Mm. And I think I kind of settled into the groove of living and not really noticing that. And then towards, I don't know, the last maybe year or so there, I think I became even more hyper aware of that. And I don't know if that's a good thing on my end. But it's something that it was a daily thing for me.
Mm.
Which is weird because… Growing up here in the States in a place where, I mean, there aren't necessarily people that look like me, but I don't necessarily stand out because of the context. I mean, there's tons of different, like for example, here in New Jersey, there's like all sorts of ethnicities represented. And so though, you know, I may not look like I fit in any of those boxes, I don't look like I stand out. Like, you know, because people aren't bothered by the fact that, you know, I'm a Blasian guy just walking down the street because there are other, you know, darker skinned guys walking down the street too. So in Korea, it was just a totally different experience that I was not even equipped or prepared for.
Sure. I mean, when it comes to standing out, like I feel like we talk about this all the time and you'll see shows like tall girl, you know, where they're talking about, oh, she's so tall and she stands out because she's so tall. Or, you know, what other reason this person has some crazy look on their face or mm-hmm. so they're standing out. Or, you know, people stand out for many different reasons. And we don't mean just in a country like in Korea. Like, of course, anywhere you are in the world, people are going to stand out from the society depending on what kind of, you know, characteristic you have or what kind of personality you have. But in Korea, it can feel a little bit different because for one, the natural flow of the society and the way community works together mm-hmm. is in a way restricting you from standing out.
Sure,
because
yeah.
you have this concept of 우리, like us, this community-based culture, the way society moves and the way you interact with each other, like you just need to know your spot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're standing out or someone doesn't know how to interact with you, it can feel uncomfortable already, mm-hmm. just on like that very basic level.
Yeah. I mean, I think an easy way to, and it's a very generalized way that doesn't take into account a lot of nuance, but an easy way to look at it is like Korea is a very collectivistic type of culture versus here in the West, in the United States especially, it's more of an individualistic type of culture. And so, yeah, that's a broad stroke. But I mean, to have just a simple framework to start with, again, not accounting for nuances, like I think in a collectivistic culture, it's not about yourself. It's about the whole. It's about the group. And so one thing to kind of protect that sort of mindset is to fall into the flow of what's happening and not sticking out.
Mm-hmm. And and the thing is like, yeah, people can treat you differently or maybe discourage you from trying to stand out. Let me give you a great example. When I was working, or I hope it's a great example. It's my own example. So you tell me if it's great or not. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. So when I was working in a Korean office, very Korean culture-based office, lots of hierarchy happening and, you know, you need to stay in your line and know what you're doing. So I remember the manager, he was talking to a group of us. Employees, younger employees. And he was saying like, oh, we need to get this done. We need to get this done. Something, something, something. And I would hear what he's saying. I'd be like, oh, I could do that. Or, oh, I can help you with this. Or, oh, I know how to do that. So maybe I can help you with it. And I guess like from his point of view, he heard me bragging. Instead of me offering like, oh, I have this ability or skill that you need. I can help you. Let me help with the project. Oh, I know how to do this. I don't mind taking control of this project. And I remember he was like talking and then he looks at me and he goes, oh, 백희진은 겸손할 줄 모르네요. Like, oh, you don't know how to be humble, do you? Which was such a shock to me when I heard that. Because for me to say like, oh, I know how to do like this Photoshop. I can build the posters for this project. It's a skill I actually have. Not just, yeah, I can do it just because I know how to do it. Like, it's like, oh, I have the skill and I know you don't. Let me help you with it. But for him, I don't know. It was very weird. I remember being totally like, huh? Like, this has nothing to do with humility or not. This is
it's
purely…
practicality.
Yeah, being practical. Because otherwise, he might indicate, oh, you need to do this to somebody else who has no experience. Mm-hmm. But they can't say anything because they're required to just follow along what he requires because he's above them.
Right.
So me, I was like, oh yeah, let me help you out. And they said, oh, you don't know how to be humble, do you? So to me, that was… He's pretty much indicating to me, I stepped out of line.
Mm-hmm. And right? you stuck out because that's what not… That's not what the normal person or the average person would do or
exactly.
should do.
Yeah. yeah. And it's not like he asked like, oh, who here knows how to do Photoshop? It's like I already knew ahead of time, he's going to force some poor employee who doesn't know how to do it. And they're going to struggle. So why don't I just be like, hey, I can help you out with that.
Right.
So anyway, that was an example of me standing out in this… you know, Korean office space and the way it was reacted to me, which was still shocking today when I think about it.
Right.
Because it was like, oh, that was kind of unreasonable. But you know what? To be honest, that Korean office was a little unreasonable.
Like, sure.
I'm not saying all Korean offices ran that way.
I mean, I'm sure you could have a whole podcast episode on your experience with that office.
Oh,
As I'm pretty aware.
Sure. I'd love to relive
there are conversations. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, for me, I'll take the easy approach in terms of talking about some of my experiences of standing out. Like, obviously, I'm a little bit darker skinned male in comparison to the average Korean complexion. So that in and of itself, I mean, just visually, like you're going to stand out. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. like if you go, if you're a black guy that goes to an all white town, mm-hmm. you're going to stand out. Mm-hmm. People are going to look at you because it's not normal.
Yeah, you're going to stand out.
And I have a funny story about, before I digress too much, you know, I'll mention that story later because it had to do with here in the States. But for me, like just having my appearance, not looking Korean or notably Korean or noticeably Korean rather, people tend to just look, you know, at me while I'm walking down the street or in the subway. Like they'll glance at me. Mm. Like I think in the city, like in Seoul, I don't really stand out. No, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Wait a minute. Backtrack and play.
Hold on, cut that out. I don't know what happened to my brain there. I know what I was trying to say.
Sure, of course. Okay. Go ahead, do your thing.
So in the city of Seoul, like if I'm on the subway, I do stand out, but people don't necessarily like give me these long stares because I think they're used to, at least now, different foreigners just living amongst them, especially in certain neighborhoods in Seoul, right? Whereas if we go to like more of a rural area, or I even lived in Daejeon, which is still a city, not a big city, but it's a city. I would get more stares because of how I looked, right? So that was sort of a daily thing that I noticed. And a funny story on top of that is in 2018, I'm almost a year into Korea. My mom comes to visit and we're, you know, I'm taking around different places in Korea. We're in Busan and we're on the subway. And I remember, and my mom even notices that people were staring at us because you have this young, you know, darker skinned guy with this older Korean lady talking together. Mm. Obviously, like we're together. And like people, like the looks on people's faces were, it was funny because my mom even knows, oh, they're just looking at us.
What did she say?
She got into conversation with this one older lady on the train. Cause you know, like in Busan, like to get from one side to the other takes forever. And I forget exactly how they got into conversation, but I think the lady asked my mom something about like, who is this guy? You know? And then of course my mom says, oh, it's my son, blah, blah, blah. And has to explain to her, you know, his dad's black. And you know, they were talking, chopping it up, I guess. But it's just funny how that is a daily occurrence that, you know, I have to deal with, especially, you know, being someone that looks so different from the normal Korean.
And let's be totally honest, Cooks, you kind of bring it on yourself too.
What are you talking about, girl?
Like you know, you work out, so you know, you just have to have a really good physical fitness shape. And then, you know, you put your hair up in like a top knot, so you make yourself look even taller. And then you just have to go and dress well and wear cologne. I mean, let's be honest, you bring it on yourself.
Well, I appreciate the compliments, but I'm sure it's not that. That might contribute, but…
Yeah.
No, so like, you know, so I think it's just a normal, natural thing for people to look at someone that looks different, whether they mean harm or not.
Right.
And so that is just something that I got used to dealing with and living with every day, every time I went out somewhere.
And it's like a little bit different, right? Because you can have… You have people who say like, oh, standing out is a good thing. You want to stand out by being, you know, the smartest in your class or the one who's the hardest worker. Mm-hmm. Or you want to stand out because you're the greatest performer, whatever. You have every reason to stand out. But in those cases, you're standing out because of your achievement or you're standing out because you want to stand out.
Sure.
So all like the attention you receive from standing out in that way, it's almost like well-deserved. You know, oh, you worked really hard for this and we were cheering you on, as opposed to the attention you receive by just not doing anything. And then that can feel a little bit unfair because when you bring it up, it's like, oh, everyone keeps staring at me or I feel uncomfortable because everyone stares at me. Somebody might respond like, oh, it's because you're so good looking. That's why, you know, that's why they're looking at you. Why are you complaining? Oh, you know, they're just jealous of you. So it really dismisses how you can feel about like, yeah, but they're still staring at me. So it's kind of a weird thing, right? Because at the same time, you don't want to be like, oh, I don't like it when there are other people who are like, oh, I really want everyone to look at me. I want attention. You know what I mean? Yeah. So in Korea, it can be a little bit strange. Not only is it like you have how you look that stands out because people in general, almost, you know, most of the population in Korea has a more similar look than say in like the US or maybe the UK. Most people are going to look very Korean.
Right.
Right.
And not only just physically, but just in their fashion choices and how they, they wear their makeup, their hairstyles.
Yeah. That was something we heard a lot, right? Especially from Korean Americans in Korea.
Yeah.
They would always say like, oh, you can always tell who's a Korean American.
Exactly.
Versus a Korean. Mm-hmm. Even though your face says, oh, ethnically Korean, your hairstyle says something different.
Just your hairstyle.
If you're a guy.
Especially for a guy. Like I think we ran into one guy who mentioned like Korean Americans tend to wear their hair up. And then a lot of Koreans tend to wear their hair down. And that is like one of the first telltale signs.
It is interesting to see that.
And
right?
It is true actually for the most part.
Oh, 그거 있잖아. When I was watching 솔로지옥. I mean, I know you really want me to talk about this again. But there was one guy in there, Jintaek, Oh Jintaek. Mm-hmm. When he first came onto the scene, everyone was like, oh, he looks really like exotic. He looks like a Korean-American gyopo because of his hair. It was like cropped short. Right. He had some stubble going on.
He had a decent beard.
He even had chest
on.
Hair that he was not afraid to let peek out from his shirt. Right. And so everyone was like, just by that alone, they're like, oh, I think he's Korean-American. So even just those small things, which maybe somewhere else might feel like, oh, just personal styling choices. In Korea, it can stand out so much to the point that's like, oh, they can't be Korean, right? Because everything is, you know, you're sticking within this narrow concept of what Korean looks like. So physically, you're already standing out. And then on top of that, you have the cultural differences.
Right.
And that also makes you stand out more.
Right.
Yeah. So we were trying to think about like, what might be some people who stand out in Korea, whether for good or for bad. And, you know, like, for example, you have… I guess if you stand out in Korea, you have a couple options. Either you're just going to receive that prejudice or you can turn it around and hopefully it can be something good. But it really depends on how you look for that to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is very true.
Right? Because you have some people who have a very, let's say, ideal good looking face in Korea. You can become a celebrity and you stand out because you're so good looking, right? But then let's say you are not matching this concept of what good looking is in Korea, then there's no way you could be a celebrity.
Unless you're more of a comedic type celebrity.
Yeah.
I think that is the pass that Korea will probably give you if you don't fit that beauty standard, even if you're a foreigner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we see this all the time, the way people treat you differently on looks alone versus like a fair-skinned mixed Korean versus a dark-skinned mixed Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Both are going to stand out.
Right.
Inevitably. Yet, they will be treated differently depending on who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a little experience with that. Considering we used to always go everywhere together and like we get different treatment.
Yeah.
Even though we're, you know, by many accounts, very similar.
맞아.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that can happen. And it's just like sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's like you enjoy that attention, right? But at the same time, like it can make you feel kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed some people who live in Korea who stand out, usually because they are non-Korean and coming from another country. And in most cases, they're coming from a Western nation. I feel like a lot of these people, after a while, they're just sick of it. You know, they're just like, okay, I get it. I'm not Korean. No matter what I do, okay, fine, whatever. You guys treat me a certain way because you assume that I'm American or you assume that I'm English or whatever. And so they just stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop trying to fit in. Yeah, I mean, that is one way of going about it, I guess.
I mean, it could be freeing in many ways too. Like if you have the mindset of, I'm not going to, you know, this is not who I am. This is not my style. I'm just going to do me.
Oh.
I think there's a way to do that with class, you know, without like offending the culture that you're in.
Exactly.
And understanding I'm different. I'm never going to fit in. Which is an interesting topic because for us as half Koreans, there's a part of us that's like, no, you're my people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of, at least I'm speaking for myself, like I want to fit in a certain way because this is, you know, I am you, you are me, you know, at least part of me. Like, but we always feel like we can't, especially like with how I look, right? Whereas someone else who may not have that affinity or connection to Korean culture or the ethnicity, like it could be a little bit, I want to say easier to just…
To disconnect.
Yeah, just like this ain't me. Because like if I go to Japan,
right?
I visited Japan for a couple of days a few years ago. I felt zero like connection to the culture and I didn't feel the pressure to like prove that, hey, I could, you know, say some Japanese words or, you know, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
So I think, there are ways that a foreigner can do it. If you're like, you know what, I'm gonna just be me,
yeah,
and I'm gonna respect the culture, but I'm just gonna be who I am. I think that's cool.
Yeah. And you know, this is true. Like, if you stand out like that, but you don't feel the pressure to fit in a way you can enjoy it a little bit more. Because yeah, when you're feeling constantly this pressure, like, oh, what if I make the wrong move? It's going to discredit me.
Mm-hmm.
All my things that prove I should be part of this culture and community, if I make the wrong move because they're all watching me, then I'm discredited for that, right? As opposed to if you go to another country where you can just enjoy. I also felt the same thing when I went to Japan. For me, it was so freeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went with a friend and we were just walking around Fukuoka for 3 days. And it was just the most relaxing thing ever.
Right.
I know people think sometimes international travel can be stressful or whatever. Or you, if you can't speak the local language. But for me, it was the most freeing thing ever.
Because
mm-hmm, I was just like, okay, you know, I can speak the little Japanese I speak. I can get around and that's okay.
Yeah. And so I have to wonder if is that the common experience of many foreigners who come to live in Korea, especially from the West. They don't have that pressure. They don't have any that connection to the culture in that way, in the way that we do. So maybe the experience is a little bit less stressful.
And I think also it's a little bit less hurtful. Because if you don't have a Korean background or connection, and you stand out and people treat you differently. Oh, you're American. Wow, your Korean's so good. Oh, you know, you're so tall and good looking, whatever. Just these common phrases just thrown out just because that's what we say when we see a foreigner. Then when people are saying those things to you, it doesn't feel like, oh, you're shoving me away.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I get it because we're different. You're Korean and I'm not. That's fine. But it's a little bit different feeling when you are mixed Korean and people make these kind of commentaries on you. You can feel kind of like, oh, okay, why are you drawing this line between us when I'm trying everything to be closer?
Mm-hmm.
So that is, that's kind of like it's a weird difference. Yeah, between just being mixed Korean versus being totally non-Korean and living in Korea. Right. So, and the other thing, if you are that person who's just like, whatever, screw it, I don't need to fit in anyway, I give up. I get it. The culture can be hard to adjust to and language can be difficult and you might feel uncomfortable in many situations. But at that point, then the only thing it's on you now is how much you respect the country and how much you respect the culture.
Right.
Then it's up to you. So in this case, you know my point of view, which is try your best to learn and understand the culture and, you know, be part of the community instead of, you know, just being like, I'm not part of this, the end.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's some good advice there for sure.
Okay.
So with this concept of standing out in Korea, and we actually did a podcast on this a little while back where we talked about this idea of jeong.
Did we? Did we do an episode on jeong?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're like, this is almost 130 episodes in. So we've done so many, but I know because we did one on Han and I feel like we did one
Han
on
jeong.
Han
was a good one.
Yeah.
Jeong. Henna, Uri? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think we mentioned… I know we've talked about
it. Sure, we've talked about it for
whether
sure.
Whether we did a full episode on it, I guess now I'm a little hesitant to say. But this is a very… I guess I want to use the word implicit characteristic about Korea. Like this idea of jeong and Uri.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So Korea… is a very, and I alluded to it earlier, is a very collectivistic culture, right? And it kind of shares like this this togetherness because of that, right? Mm-hmm. We're a country together. We've been through so much together and we must protect that. And I think this is where a lot of that national pride comes in, right? It's just this idea of we are Korean. We are, you know, we have the Korean bloodline and this is what makes up who we are. And if you're outside of this, then we're cool with you, but you're not us. You can't be us because you don't have that shared experience.
Mm-mm-mm.
So I think this is something that comes into play when it comes to the conversation of sticking out.
Yeah, because like maybe in other places you can stand out and be admired for that. But sometimes in Korea, if you're standing out, you can't be part of the uri because uri means we're all like this.
Right.
Uri means this is our group.
Right.
You know?
Right. And by the way, uri can simply be translated, not the concept, but just the word uri just means like us or like we.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Just in a simple translation.
Yeah. And then yuri is glass and ori is duck. So you want to make sure you say it correctly because people get really confused otherwise.
Thanks for that.
So it's just my
clarification.
My little tiny teeny pointless Korean lesson. So uri, yeah. Uri can mean us. And chong. Yeah. Chong, I don't think there's a direct word that can define it. But it's that like that feeling of familiarity with
right,
each other.
Right.
So we use this for, oh, 정 들었어. Like I became, we became like closer together.
Yeah.
When you say, oh, we spent some time together. 좀 정 들었어. Like we got closer and we feel that familiarity and intimacy.
Right.
So 정은, 정 is the thing that keeps the 우리 together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you are standing out, then there can be those issues because 정 and 우리 is very powerful, implicit things in the Korean society that helps you get along just fine.
Yeah.
Right? So you can survive in the society, survive in the culture, make the friends and move forward in your life. So if you can't have that 정 and 우리 because people are not accepting you for that, it can be really difficult. You can really feel it. And nobody's going to say it directly to your face. That's the other thing. Like it's just implicit. So you just feel it everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's going to point their finger at you and just be like, you're not one of us. Like that's unlikely to happen.
Yeah. And you know, the concept is so implicit that I think a lot of Koreans would have a hard time defining exactly what it is and or putting it into words. But it's something that is felt and understood and sort of passed down, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something that lays the background and context for the conversation of perhaps like racism in Korea, right? Because it's, you know, this is a touchy subject and there's probably different perspectives on it. But, you know, you'll hear sometimes, especially foreigners who maybe live in Korea, there's a big portion of them that might say, you know what, Koreans are racist. Mm-hmm. Or I've had so many racist experience because I'm not Korean and I was treated or viewed or, you know, had these certain words spoken about me. So therefore, they're racist. And so this is something that is very heavy to unpack. But I think maybe something that will help us to understand it is the backdrop of the 정 and 우리.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, would I consider Korea to be racist based off of my experiences? Like it depends on how you look at it, right? But like for me, I think I try to look at it from a very empathetic perspective, right?
Yeah.
Because, and we have this conversation all the time, like this idea of racism in the minds of Korea, I guess it's sort of it doesn't really exist in the way it does in the West.
Sure, of course.
You know what I mean?
Because
in the West, you know, racism means a whole different thing and has a whole different history attached to it, a whole different baggage. Whereas in Korea, Korea has been very much just a peaceful nation unto itself until, you know, in different periods of time, different countries would come in and, you know, cause ruckus and, you know, cause trouble. And so so, you know, Korea is new to this idea of foreigners coming in and living in Korea, working amongst them. And even now, there aren't a large percentage of foreigners in the whole Korean population that live in Korea.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's the most probably amount now. But so Koreans aren't really used to this idea of dealing or interacting with other people, except for really in the past century or so. So I think that is something that we should keep in our minds with this conversation. Now that's not to excuse or to justify that there is no racism.
Well, it gets complicated, right? Because the world now has become more integrated and more global. So while you have, you know, the concept of whatever racism that exists in the US or in the Western world, right? Where if you look back at the roots of that kind of racism, it's because this group of people were the oppressors. For whatever reason, they were oppressing this group of people. And so this is why that racism exists, right? You look back at that. This is a very, you know, sketched out, very sketched out concept of racism in the West. But you have that as opposed to in Korea, where it's Korea was the oppressed. So in that case, Korea's behavior towards those who are different from Koreans is not really out of a place of, oh, I'm trying to look down on you and beat you down.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's just we got to protect ourselves
mm-hmm.
because so much was taken away from us or tried to be taken away from us in the past
mm-hmm.
during the Korean War, the Japanese oppression, you know, the invasions, so many invasions to the Korean Peninsula. So this is a different, like you're already coming from a different point of view
mm-hmm.
when it comes to dealing with the idea of racism in Korea. But then mixed on top of that, and this is the thing that I'm kind of curious about and it's interesting to watch happen out live right now, is this influence and impact from Western media
mm-hmm.
and people coming from the West into Korea, bringing their Western concept of what is racism and equity and equality
mm-hmm.
into Korea,
right.
which is coming from a different point of view. So now you have some clashes here happening. And I don't deny that there are definitely people in Korea who are racist in the concept of, oh, your skin looks like that. You're not as good as us.
Oh yeah, that's definitely.
I mean,
the case
that does
for sure.
also exist for sure,
mm-hmm.
but we see it. I feel like even more so than like it's not like let's say in the U.S. this systemic racism against African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different concept. Yet there are still people in Korea who could look down on somebody who has dark skin,
mm-hmm.
and that can also go farther back, not because Korea had slaves, but because Korea looked, you know, if you had darker skin, it meant you work outside. It meant you weren't as wealthy or it meant you weren't educated. Those kind of things. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's coming from a little different point of view.
Right.
It's not denying racism exists in Korea by any means. And it's not denying, you know, you can be treated pretty horribly in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying that can happen. But I think if we're going to talk about racism in Korea because of skin color or whatever, you have to understand where they're coming from.
Sure.
In order to have an impactful conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think another thing to think about is… and I guess it's a little bit of a speculation.
Mm.
Is maybe because there is this idea of wanting to protect the culture and mm-hmm. not wanting… You know, having that PTSD, if you will, culturally of what has happened in the past… Mm-hmm. to us, like we don't want that to happen again. We don't want to be in captivity to mm-hmm. another nation again, mm-hmm. right? Could it be fear
yeah.
that causes a lot of people to want to shut anyone that looks different,
mm-hmm.
that sounds different out
mm-hmm.
so that we can protect this quote unquote bloodline and mm-hmm. keep our tradition and keep our people strong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like for a lot of people, whether they realize it or not, there is a fear that there will be a dilution of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfect example is a lot of people, let's just say older generation Koreans, that's why a lot of them, I believe, have a harder time accepting one of their sons or daughters marrying someone that's outside of the Korean. I don't want to even just say race.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say ethnicity because, mm-hmm. you know, it could be even within the same race. It could be Chinese or mm-hmm. Japanese mm-hmm. or, you know, some other Asian. But I think there is a little bit of a fear of losing some of that culture.
Yeah.
Right. And again, this is a little bit of a speculation just by my observations.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that is something to think about.
Right.
Because it's not just necessarily a hatred for hatred's sake. It's
mm-mm.
just… more of a protection. But the result of that and the action…
still look the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not justifying it. It's still, you know, not good. But…
But you have to understand it.
Right.
This is the key.
And it helps you to have a little bit of a more empathetic approach…
Right.
to talking about these issues.
Right.
Which
we see happen in Korea. Like somebody who… rather well-known figure in Korea spoke up about race
mm-hmm.
in the point of view of saying, hey, Korea, you should have known better.
Right.
That Koreans took this very offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, what are you pointing your finger at us about a racism issue that something you're dealing with?
Right.
Not Korea.
Right.
So why are you blaming us for that? In Korea's case, it's not a matter of like hatred.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of like, this didn't exist
right.
amongst us. So how are we supposed to know? And
right.
why are you blaming us?
Right. So that is a very good point because I think that's kind of like, oh, 1 point for Korea. But then I'm going to take that point away because in a situation like that, right? There's another side to the story in that Korea, as quickly as the nation has developed and has become a strong global player,
yeah.
because Korea is now a global player, it has to play catch up and really understand
yes.
How to interact with different countries and cultures. And this idea of, you know… doing things that will offend another country or culture is actually a thing now that mm-hmm. they have to be concerned about. Whereas, years ago when you're just worrying about your own country, you don't have to think about mm-hmm. other countries and, you know, the problems that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And so I think on the same token, yeah, I don't think the West or someone else should project their framework of racism onto Korea. But I think now Korea is in that time where they have to figure out, you know,
it's very interesting.
How to not offend other people and to, and there needs to be a level of understanding and learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that is, that's where I'm going to take the point away from Korea.
Okay. So, wow. You're a very intense goalkeeper.
No. But I mean, it's just the truth because when you interact with other people, the best thing to do is to try to learn how to interact with them. And that also includes maybe learning what not to say or what not to do to offend
yeah,
people.
I mean, it's a very curious time with Korea. Definitely, I think we're seeing some growing pains happening at this moment. Korea being embraced more in the world as a legitimate player and being an exporter of very popular goods, music, K-pop idols, food, all of these things. So you have this happening simultaneously as Korea is trying to figure out like how the Western world especially treats each other and where they're all coming from. I mean, that's kind of a lot of information overload. And if you look at the way Korea's education system is still, the fact that even though people are learning English, it's not really to a point of fluency on all levels to be able to get all of the information and understand. I mean, you're demanding quite a lot of a small country like Korea with the kind of past that they had to be like, okay, well, you should understand racism in the US.
Right.
Like that's kind of asking a lot.
That's true.
Right? And so I think as much as Korea needs to be learning in order to really be a legitimate player on the global stage and being a leader in terms of culture, as much as Korea has to work to understand other countries should also work to understand Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And so this goes for anybody who's going to Korea. Like your duty when you go there is not just to take,
right,
but also to learn. And I think that will help you, if we're reverting back to our original topic, help you to understand and be part of the community more. Because you're going to stand out whether you like it or not because of how you look. But when it comes to culture and community, there are steps that you can take to be more smoothly incorporated. And that will just make your experience better.
Right. And I think that is probably the proper way to go about it. If you're coming into another country, a different culture, I think the most respectful thing you can do is to try to assimilate to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get to know the people, get to know the language, which is a big one, and try to understand the perspective of the people there and operate in that.
Ah, very good. I liked that. All right then. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to add about this conversation?
I mean, there's so much to talk about, but I think maybe that'll be another episode.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what kind of maybe listener mail we get or if people have any questions.
Sure.
But that being said, we're going to head over to listener mail. Okay, so I know I keep saying listener mail, and I just use that to define this time at the end of the podcast. It is important to recognize that we do accept listener mail. You can write to us at thehappyproject@gmail.com. And you know what? We do get emails and we get messages, but it's like, some of it's personal or some of it requires, you know, our own conversations, and I don't really want to share it with the whole group. So if you're listening and you're like, oh, I do have something I want to share with all the listeners, this is perfect time for you to write in. So you can share with us your own experiences or you're going to Korea. What are you concerned about or what are you excited about? You can tell us about what it's like for you while you're living there. Whatever it might be and you would like to share with people through the podcast, we'd love to hear it. Like I said, theafterproject@gmail.com. So in the meanwhile, while we are waiting patiently, we're standing by the mailbox until your letter comes. You can check out our website. It's thehappyproject.com. And I mean, I'm writing every single day. There's so many blog articles and essays and all of those things going out on the website. So make sure you check that out. And make sure you subscribe. Leave some reviews. That is always helpful and lovely. And share this podcast if you think there's somebody you think who might enjoy it. And until then, we will see you next week. We are The Happy Project.